teaching in a time of Trump. This is for educators only. February 11th, 8:30 to 1 p.m. at Madison High School. And I also want to point out that the Hollywood Theater also has a Black Film Festival. It's a two-week festival starting February 9th through 22nd, and you can go to their website to find out information on all of those films, documentaries, narrative, and even a music film, Sign of the Times, Prince. A good festival. Please check that out. This has been Denise Morris, my engineer this morning, Patsy Kohlberg. Thank you very much, and we'll be back next week.
KABOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Celebrating 100 Years of Recorded Jazz event on Thursday, February 16th at 8 p.m. at the Fremont Theater in Portland. On February 26, 1917, the original Dixieland Jazz Band recorded the first jazz record ever issued, which will be celebrated on February 16th by the Cherry Blossom Orchestra presenting a concert playing full tribute to the trailblazing original. They'll be showcasing many landmark recordings from the first 25 years of recorded jazz. Again, the Celebrating 100 Years of Recorded Jazz event on Thursday, February 16th at 8 p.m. at the Fremont Theater. 2393 Northeast Fremont Street in Portland. More information can be found at kaboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Monday, February 6th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, sanctuary radio, and all Cascadia, alternative radio for an alt-normal world. We are hiding in plain earshot at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Money flowing from the 1% got us into this mess. And money flowing from the rest of us, that's you and I, are going to get us out. Membership drive at KABOO is not the only time of year when you can rub your dollars up against that radio and pray on the glow. Anytime's a good time to support KBOO, but membership drive, which is coming up right exactly in the windshield pretty much right now. It's almost here. That means that it is the most fun that you can have while giving your money away. And now broadcasting live from the Alt Wall, weather for your Portland area where you plant your feet and take a stand. For today, showers likely. You know what? It's going to rain a lot. It's going to be in the 40s, and at night it's going to be in the 30s. It's going to rain tomorrow, and it's going to be in the 40s in the day. It's going to be in the 30s at night. And on that note, we have none other than Clint Curtis joining us today. I am so happy to bring Clint back to the KBOO Airwaves, probably one of the most exciting guests we've ever had, having written the code, the source code, for the hack that changed the world, the Diebold hack. And in Florida, and most listeners need very little introduction to that. Clint is an attorney based, I believe, in Florida and across the country, and joins us now on Air Cascadia. Good morning, Clint. Hi. Good morning.
Hello. How are you doing?
Are you there? Hi. Good morning. Are you there? We seem to...
I'm here.
Hi. Good. Thanks for being with us today. Well, anyone seen the documentary Lies, it's an election, Lies, Spies, and Murder, basically. It lays it all out there. It's a great film. I encourage everyone, after hearing what Clint says today, to have a look at that. If you haven't already seen this film, it's terrific. And I probably bungle up the title of it, because I pretty much always do. So having seen it, I don't know, many times, and referred it to people many times over. But Clint, so now Donald Trump, has been begging for a recount. He wants to establish the fact that he won the popular vote and that Hillary Clinton did not. Maybe he's maybe he should have thought this through before he asked for anybody to look at what happened in the 2016 election. I believe you know a little bit more about what happened than Trump does.
Well, there is it did kind of odd that, you know, he's saying it, although he says a lot of things so the other side can respond negatively. So they can, I mean, he basically said that the elections were going to be rigged.
Because he was going to rig them.
Well, then he would know. But he kept claiming the elections going to be rigged, and so everyone stood up there and said, no, no, they're perfectly fine. They won't be rigged. Everything will be great. And then when the numbers all come out different, it's really hard for them to go back on their opinions and say, well, maybe we were wrong. They kind of put them in a box. It's very similar to the box that he put Republican candidates in when everybody was saying, oh, I will support the Republican nominee. And he said, I may not. And so they all went up there and took an oath. And then, lo and behold, when he becomes a Republican nominee, well, they're not so sure anymore. So he kind of plays games. So I don't know if he really wants to fix the issue or if he does not. With him, you never know what's going on.
You were taking a look at the numbers, and there might have been, and suggested perhaps there might be some action actually taken on the results, as contrasted with what Trump's plans were, was to simply question it and then leave it lying dead in the road. Is anyone able to, you would probably know best of anybody, whether or not is anything had actually happened that is worth looking at? Would Donald Trump actually have a case here?
Well, he might. I mean, if you can't trust the voting system, and if it can be manipulated, which it can, obviously I can attest to that, then who knows who's manipulating what parts of it. So he might have a point. It may have been, you know, they may have flipped votes in California against him and then flipped votes in Florida for him, and then he won the presidency, but the counts still don't count. You know, things aren't adding up like they're supposed to. He's looking for... The odd part is he's looking for votes in places that, according to all of the polling, actually got the votes right. So California voted pretty much like they thought it was going to vote. New York voted pretty much like they thought it was going to vote. So if you look for votes in places where the exit polls told you that it's correct, then that might be a problem. So you might want to look in other places where things are odd. And there are some places where they are odd.
Example.
Right here in Florida, in fact, there are a couple of...
Sorry, you said Florida, that's all. Yes.
Right here in Florida, there are several counties that Trump looked like he was going to win by large numbers, and then he did not. But he did, and there are other counties that look like Clinton should have won by large numbers, and she did not. Overall, nothing really adds up, but the powers that be don't want to actually count the ballots, which is the odd part, because that's where the totals are. You don't have to have machine counts. You don't have to have something that could be altered by the Russians. You don't have to have anything. If you've got the paper, all you've got to do is count it, and that will tell you the totals.
But these are all D-bulb machines. These are all touchscreen machines you're talking about, though.
No, the touchscreens are not the biggest problem. A lot of people got rid of the touchscreens and said, see, the problem solved. But the problem is that the same code that goes in touchscreens can go in scanners. So then flip the scanner just as easy as you can flip the touchscreen, and it will always give you the same results. So the issue becomes you've got to actually count the ballots. You cannot trust the machine count.
Yeah.
And fortunately, we do not do that. Even if you get a recount, generally what you get is you get the ballots sent back through the scanner.
Where they could be corrupted. So is anyone seriously looking at this? And even if they did, supposing someone did take a look at all the election results across the country and were able to establish that Trump had not, in fact, won the election, what would happen? Would this become some sort of a constitutional crisis? Because many people think that pretty much everything about the Trump presidency so far has is legal problems.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I believe that if we looked at the elections and if we counted them, and you don't have to count the entire world, you can count certain states that didn't turn out like they should, such as Florida, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Now, he might have been able to pull off of Wisconsin, because Wisconsin, you know, has elected Republicans. It's pretty split. He might even be able to pull off of Michigan, because Michigan recently elected their governor as a Republican, you know, the one that allowed all the water. So, not a good choice, but that's what they did. So there are some switches. However, in Pennsylvania, he was down by 6 points. Very hard to make that up. In Florida, he was down by 6 points, and on the eve of the election, people were already counting the number of Democrats compared to the number of Republicans and the exit polling, which showed that no matter what happened election day, the early vote and the absentee vote had already decided the election.
Hang on a second. We're pretty much out of time, and I have to ask the question. Is anyone actually pursuing this? And if so, would it change the landscape at all?
We are looking at filing a federal lawsuit based on the fact that the voter cannot verify their votes. So we're looking into that right now. If we get the funding and we get enough people, we will do that. And can it change anything? Absolutely. If you can actually find the votes and show that the election is not correct, then everything that president did from Supreme Court down to executive actions would be overturned.
That's it. That's what Trump wanted. It's sometimes karma is getting what you want and then getting stuck with it, eh? He wanted to recount. So here we go. It's off to the races. Thank you so much, Clint. We want to post everything that from your website on our website. We'll put a link to that website. Can you just let listeners know where to go to find out more about this and follow up on what's going on?
Well, right now, if you are interested in getting involved, once we get it going, just email me, ClintCurtis@ClintCurtis.com. Right now, there's no websites up. There's no fundraising going on. I just have to make sure we have all of our ducks in a row and we have a good constitutional argument prior prior to getting it rolled out.
But watch the film too. Listeners should remember too, there's a film about how this thing all began. That is Lies, Spies, and Murder, I believe.
It's called Murder, Lies, Murder, Spies, and Voting Lies.
See, yeah, got it wrong. But watch the movie. It's terrific, by Chapman Friedman, and a lot of the story, the background for this, which is incredible, is right there. It's more of an action movie than a documentary. Thanks so much for that, Clint. I believe that we've got Robin on the line here now with Cascadia Wild, a little bit of an update on the Elliott State Forest timber sale. Robin, thanks for being so patient. And it seems that we don't have Robin on the line at the moment. We've got only 20 seconds to go. We'll try to catch up with Robin Cascadia Wallace tomorrow, because there's some big news coming up on that timber sale. They just don't want to leave the Elliott State Forest alone. And a Russian activist is suffering from symptoms of poisoning for the second time in 2 years. Vladimir Karamurza is a prominent Russian opposition activist, journalist, and has almost died recently from an apparent poisoning. This right coming about at the same time, neck with Donald Trump's remarks about how he's okay with Vladimir Putin killing people because we, as he says the quote, we have killers here. That's a little bit alarming. If you put all these two stories together. This has been a Cascadia for Monday, February 6, 2017. Derek Crooks is engineering for us this morning. Thanks so much, Derek. Derek is also, of course, the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Love Jones, producer of the world famous Confessional. This year, Contessa de la Luna brings you a real bona fide Wild West jamboree and variety show. We've got live performances by Contessa de la Luna and Courtney Vondrell from Three Leg Torso, plus audience lasso contests, sock puppet theater, surprise fun box drawing, many other prizes. We've got performances